Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome back. Whether you are here live right now or maybe sometime later on in the day, I'm glad that we have this time together. I hope that you have all had a wonderful week thus far. It is Wednesday, December 1st, 2021, and happy December to everybody. How can it be December? I don't know, but I know that I asked it last month when I said, how can this be November? Yet here we are. Time has a tendency to just take off on us, doesn't it? Especially this time of the year when there's all sorts of things going on and stuff swirling around. But nevertheless, I'm glad to have this time with you. And I hope that this daily devotional finds all of you doing very well. I'll give one more plug for our holiday drive-through dinner that is coming up on Saturday. I believe that they are still taking orders even today. So if you want to order food, then call the church office or you can call Christy or Carrie and place that order. Today, I believe they're going to start cooking. So when you have to cook for that many people, it's a multi-day process. So that's going to be today. And I'm looking forward to that time with the ladies at the church. I think I'm just going to be putting turkeys in ovens and that kind of thing. And hey, I'm there to just do what I'm told. That's it. I don't know anything. Just tell me what to do, and I will gladly do it. But nevertheless, looking forward to that time. Big weekend coming up for us at Old Providence, and I hope that the weekend ahead for you is going to be excellent. I hope that even now you are planning what you're going to be doing on the Lord's Day this coming Sunday. Now, let's go ahead and get to it. Today, we continue our time in the Psalms. And it makes me nervous. I think that I put the wrong psalm in the description. It should be Psalm 28 that we are at today. And I think I might have put Psalm 27 in it. Nevertheless, we are in Psalm 28 today. Yesterday was Psalm 27, where we talked about David's priorities there, how the Lord was his stronghold, how his focus was on the Lord, how nothing, how his greatest desire in life was to see the Lord, to seek the Lord's face. Now, the Lord was continually the object of his heart's desire. And yesterday should have served as a prompting for us. I know personally for me, it served as a prompting for me. David talked about his go-to for security and strength, and that's the Lord. And sometimes we get that messed up. Yesterday we talked about one of the many different things we can look to for security in life. We can look to things like our finances. We can look to things like friends, like family. We can look to things like our own personal health and our own wisdom and all of these different things that ultimately will fail you. It doesn't matter how powerful or strong your relationships are, relationships with other people or with simple people. That can't be helped. It doesn't matter what your finances are. And haven't the past few years shown us this? You know, it's hard to believe that here we are, I guess, what is 2008 minus 2022? So that's 14 years ago, the 2008 crisis hit. And who knows, y'all? I mean, we're in the midst of COVID right now. Inflation is going crazy right now. So we can't trust in finances. All of these things that the world tells us we can trust in, they're not trustworthy. Not ultimately. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with these things. Nothing wrong with having close relationships with people. Nothing wrong with being financially secure. Not a problem in the world with that. However, when those things are the basis of your hope, when it's those secondary things that you run to in times of trouble, don't be surprised. Do not be surprised if you end up disappointed. After all, remember what the Lord has said about himself, that he's a jealous God. And the first of the commandments is to have no other gods before him. Now, again, I'm not saying those things are wrong, but when we elevate those to the position that only God should be in, we put those things before God. So we should take that prompting from Psalm 27, and our heart's desire should be that of David's, to seek the Lord's face, to dwell in the house of the Lord, that no matter what happens in this life, we have a place to turn to, not a place, a person, and that person is the Lord Almighty. Now, with these things in mind, we move on to Psalm 28, and we hear another prayer of David, but also We get some teaching today. We get some teaching on a subject that a lot of times we don't think about. You know, David has talked about wickedness all along, but he exposes a certain aspect of wickedness that a lot of times we would do anything but call wicked. What am I talking about? Well, let's pray and then we'll dig in and we will see. Let's go to the Lord. Our Father, please be with us right now and guide us in this time. As we come to your word, we come to it as your children, as those that we are beloved for the sake of your Son. However, as we come to your word, we bring all of our baggage with us. We bring our preconceived notions. We bring our understanding. We bring our prejudices. And ultimately, our prejudices always benefit us or promote ourselves instead of others. We tend to turn a blind eye to our own sins. As your Son talked about, we strain the gnat but swallow the camel. So please, work in our hearts now that we would see what you would have us to out of this psalm. And if it's encouragement that we need, then please provide it. But as David talks about a certain facet of wickedness, if we need correction, please give that too. And we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so Psalm 28, beginning in verse 1. This is a psalm of David. Don't know any of the background for it, but this is what he says. He says, "To you I call, O Lord," it's all caps, so it's "O Jehovah my rock." "To you I call, O Jehovah my rock, do not turn a deaf ear to me. For if you remain silent, I will be like those who have gone down to the pit." Side note, time out, pause. What David's talking about here is prayer, right? He says, "To you I call." The essence of David calling is that he is going to the Lord in prayer. But my question for you just after this first verse is, how important is prayer to you? And do you have a connection to the Lord in prayer? Or let me rephrase that. Do you feel as though you have a connection to the Lord in prayer? The reality is this. There are times in our relationship with the Lord when we feel very much in tune with the Lord, as if the Lord is hearing our prayers, as if the Lord is answering our prayers. And there are times when the Lord feels far away. Realize that that's never because the Lord has gone anywhere. Sometimes there are times of triumph in our life, of moving forward, wonderful times. Sometimes there are times of difficulty in our life, and y'all know all of that stuff. But consider what David has said. He said, "If you remain silent, I'll be like those who have gone down to the pit." What pit is he talking about? This is pit used in an Old Testament sense. When he talks about pit, he's talking about hell. David says, "If you don't hear my prayer, it's going to be like I'm in hell." How important is prayer to you? You know, David doesn't reveal where he's at personally in his relationship with the Lord and his sense of closeness to the Lord, but we can reasonably assume that this is one of those times in David's life where David may feel far off. If he's appealing to the Lord to hear him, perhaps that really is the case. And it happens with all of us, from the greatest to the least of us, from the least to the greatest of us, because that's the nature of the Christian life that we lead. Don't be fooled. The ones that are writing the self-help books out there and calling them Christian books, the ones who are trying to get your money, they would paint Christianity as this just steady incline, onward and upward, onward and upward. Everything's looking better and brighter, and you just trust, and you're going to be prosperous, and all of these things are going to happen. And then they usually follow it up by saying, and if you're not prosperous, it's because you don't believe enough. And the best way to show that you believe enough is to trust God. And the best way to trust God is with your money, and you should give your money to me because I'm God's representative. That's usually how that thing goes, right? They would have you believe that Christianity is just this onward and upward, steady incline. The reality is that Christianity, the example I've used before is that it's not just this steady uphill. I've talked about Montebello over here, over the mountain, right? When you get on Highway 56, close to where I'm at, to get to Montebello, yeah, I mean, technically it's higher than we are, right? It's up. But to get there, you got to go around twists and curves. You got to go downhills. You got to go straight uphills. And when you look at the sides of the road going to Montebello, you see rocks sticking out, and a lot of them have paint on them from cars, from trucks, from that sort of thing. Y'all, that's the nature of the Christian life. We do struggle. And there are times when we just don't feel close to the Lord. So maybe that's what David's going through here. as he calls out to the name of God. And as he says to God, if you don't hear me, it's going to be like I'm in hell. But that shows us something about David's relationship with the Lord. It shows us, number one, the importance of prayer to David. And number two, his commitment to continue with prayer, no matter how he feels. And that's important, y'all. It's important because there are high times and low times. And the command to go to the Lord is the same in both. But not only the command, the need to go to the Lord. And in fact, the need to go to the Lord is just as strong, if not stronger, than when we are in the valleys, when we're in difficult times. So how important is prayer to you? And have you given up on prayer? Now, very few people would say, oh, yes, I've given up on prayer. The best way to gauge if you've given up on prayer or if you're being tempted to give up on prayer is how do you pray for yourself? I might be stepping on some toes. How do you pray for yourself? You know, it's much easier to pray for other people because our level of investment in praying for other people is not the same as our level of investment in praying for ourselves. It's just not. It doesn't matter how kind you are, how loving you are. When you pray for yourself, you admit a certain vulnerability to God. You admit a need to God. And you are placing your hope in God. And to do so, that requires faith, y'all. Really does. So, how important is prayer to you? Are you committed to prayer? He continues on. He says in verse 2, hear my cry for mercy as I call to you for help, as I lift up my hands towards your most holy place. It's okay to pray that the Lord would hear your prayers. You know that? That's what David's doing here. And this is where this teaching comes in. Earlier in my prayer also, I referenced that David is going to address a certain kind of sin in Psalm 28. And it may be a sin that we don't think about very often. Verse 3, look at the first part. It says, do not drag me away with the wicked, with those who do evil. False. Don't read any further. When we read God's word, and we read terms like evil and wicked, certain sins come to mind, right? The obvious, the big hitters are those that have to do with sexual sin, right? Those things that the Lord has called abominations, those things that make us unclean and pure. Also, sins of violence come to mind. Assaulting someone, murdering someone, wickedness. Nastiness, sins of apostasy come to mind, and hating the Lord, those that would mock God's word, those that would speak against the Lord, those that have made themselves the enemies of God. When we hear the term wicked and evil, most of the time, those are the things that come up in our minds, right? But what's David talking about? What sin does he call wicked? And he says, don't drag me away with these people. Who does he call evil here? Look at the next part of verse 3. I'll read the whole thing. Do not drag me away with the wicked, with those who do evil, who speak cordially with their neighbors, but harbor malice in their hearts. Y'all, David may be giving us a little hint at what he's dealing with. Interpersonal conflict may be why he's praying to the Lord. Again, we don't know. We don't have to know. But when David requests that the Lord would prevent him from falling in league with the evil, or with those who are evil, when David says, don't drag me away with the wicked, you know who he's talking about? He's talking about gossips. It's this idea of people that he calls the ones that are wicked. And forget about David. This is God's word. Who does God consider wicked and evil? Again, the second part of verse 3. Those who speak cordially with their neighbors, but harbor malice in their hearts. David's talking about two-faced hypocrites here. David is talking about gossips here. And again, I keep saying David, God is breathing this out through David. This is the word of God. And who does God call evil and wicked? Those that would pretend that everything's just hunky-dory, that'll have a nice, pleasant little conversation with you, but then as soon as you turn your back on them, they'll just say the nastiest things about you. Or they may not even say it. They harbor malice in their hearts. Instead of loving you, they're deceitful. They put up a good front, and then they talk smack about you behind your back, right? They won't talk to you about their problems with you, but they'll go talk about you in the parking lot. They won't confront the problems that they have in life, but they'll be angry on the inside, and they'll harbor bitterness and resentment instead of loving the other person enough to go and talk to them. Y'all, that's what the Lord calls wicked. That's what the Lord calls evil. Certainly there are more things in God's word that he reveals as being wicked and evil. But this is the one that we often miss. Probably because it really hits close to home. Isn't it so much easier to just harbor resentment for somebody? You know, if somebody's done you wrong, if a relationship has gone awry, isn't it so much easier to just pretend like everything is okay? Now, this has lots of different applications. If somebody has confronted you and has told you, you sinned against me and you need to repent, and you refuse to do that, you just pretend like everything is okay, go through life, yeah, everything's fine, you fit into this category. Or if you got a serious problem with somebody and you won't talk to them about it, but you'll talk about that person behind his or her back, I'm sorry, but you fit into this category of wicked and evil. This stuff has to be dealt with, y'all. I'm not going to read it, but go to Matthew 18. Jesus gives us a prescription for this on how to deal with people. Somebody sinned against you, go to them and talk to them. Don't talk about them. Don't go and gossip about it. Talk to them. And then if they don't listen to you, take two or three witnesses along. And then if they don't listen when there's two or three witnesses, take the elders of the church along so that they can be dealt with. That in itself exposes an issue because the grand majority of churches in the United States don't practice church discipline anymore. That means the grand majority of churches in the United States aren't really churches, because that is a clear teaching of the New Testament that one of the true marks of the church is properly dispensing the sacraments, properly exercising church discipline. And so many churches aren't doing it. But y'all, the method for dealing with one another has been given to us, and that method is to love one another. It is so much easier to just harbor resentment and to hold a grudge than it is to really love somebody. It is so much easier to talk about somebody than to actually talk to them. Yet realize, if that's you, realize what God's word says. And realize what God says after verse 4. Now this is David speaking, but this is the word of God. David requests, and this is commensurate with God's word, commensurate. Verse 4, repay them for their deeds and for their evil work. Repay them for what their hands have done, and bring back upon them what they deserve. Now you might say, whoa, talking behind somebody's back is that bad? Yeah, it is. Gossiping is that bad? Yes, it is. Why? Because of what it indicates. And that's what we see in verse 5. It says, since they show no regard for the works of Jehovah and what his hands have done, he will tear them down and never build them up again. So, what God's word teaches us is, if you're willing to talk about somebody but not to somebody, if you're willing to just pretend and play nice and be sweet as molasses, you know, that's the thing we can do in the South. We can pretend to be sweet and kind and then cut somebody to pieces behind their back. This says if you do that in verse 5, you show no regard for the works of the Lord and what his hands have done. Now, there's lots of ways to apply that, but the chief way to apply that in terms of what the Lord has done is that the Lord has adopted us into his family. The Lord has made us his children. God loved us enough to send his son to die for us. We should love one another enough to talk to each other to where if there's a problem, we fix it. If you refuse to do that, you have no regard for the Lord. And the promise there is that he's going to tear you down, and he's not going to build you up again. So this stuff has to be dealt with if you've fallen into it. Gossip takes many forms. You know, I joke about it where sometimes people say, I'm not a gossip, but I'll tell you who is, right? You know, there's a certain deliciousness to gossip. But what it ultimately points to is that we have no regard for the Lord. Now it's at this point that David shifts gears. Verse 6, praise be to Jehovah, for he has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him and I am helped. My heart leaps for joy and I will give thanks to him in song. The Lord is the strength of his people, a fortress of salvation for his anointed one. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Be their shepherd and carry them forever. What this psalm has done is in the first part you have David turning to the Lord, and in the second part David remarks on the Lord's deliverance. And that's certainly true, but y'all, we need to see the real message of what's going on here. We need to take the warning for what it is. How important is prayer to you? And are you dealing with people as you should? That's your devotional question for the day. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this time that you have given to us, and we pray your blessings on it. No matter if people are here live or will be here eventually, I don't know how you're going to use this, but I pray that you will. Please forgive me for the time where I've taken the easy road and not dealing with people. So, Father, it's not my desire to be counted among the wicked and the evil. So please forgive me. Please spur me on towards righteousness. Help me to seek your face and to do the hard thing. This is to you. Help us to do this in every facet of life, including our relationships. And we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I'd like to thank you all for being a part of this time. I see we've had several here. There's Rose, good morning, and yes, indeed, happy Advent. Yes, hope. There is Monica, good morning, and my sister-in-law, Katie. And there's Mary Ann and Helen, good morning, and there's Sybil and Stacy and Alice, good morning, and Becky. Thank you all for being a part of this time. Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow morning. Until then, hope you all have a fantastic day.